And then we see David was a youth. That Saul said to David, how can you go out and fight the giant when you are but a youth? But what, as a youth, what did he do? He killed, he defeated, he silenced the enemy.
Greetings, radio friends. Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor here at Bethany Baptist Church. We are looking forward to a new message today, a powerful proclamation, a personal reflection from Psalm 8. What a powerful psalm, Psalm 8. You want to hear this message today. Before we begin our message, we've been offering a book that I've written, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. And in this book, we give you biblical answers about heaven. So stay tuned and you can find out how to get your copy of the book, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Now join us for the first half, coming from Psalm 8, a powerful proclamation and a personal reflection.
This morning we're going to be in Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Psalm 8, we read these words. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Praise God for his word today. And I want to speak to you on a powerful proclamation and a personal reflection. The powerful proclamation is, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. That's a powerful proclamation. And then the psalmist said, when I considered the heavens, in verse 3, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, I said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? You know, he began to do a personal reflection. I remember when I was growing up, I think I was in junior high about that time, or getting ready to go into high school, and our family moved from one area of North Braddock to another area. And I remember one of the first days that I went to school, somebody picked a fight. And because I was the new kid on the block, afterwards, you know, they said, you know how you say, well, we'll see you after school. And so, you know, I was thinking about all day long, you know, this guy wanted to fight me. And so, you know, we went out and I somehow thought that I could slip away and go home and not have to deal with it, but that didn't happen, and he confronted me. And, you know, it wasn't the fact that he confronted me and the two of us got into a fight that was so bad, but one of the things that was really bad is because I was a new kid in the neighborhood that everybody, you know how they used to build a circle around you when you were fighting? And everybody in the circle was on his side. And so I was outnumbered. And so, you know, that when you get to a situation like that, the only thing that you can do is just fight. You know, no matter how scarred you are, whatever the case might be, you know, the only thing you could do is fight. And so I just came out fighting. And we fought, and, you know, a couple times we hit the ground and rolled around. And, you know, at the end of the fight, I can honestly say that I don't know who won the fight. You know, I know everybody was cheering for him every time he punched me, or, you know, every time he did something. When I did something, nobody cheered for me. But I, at the end of the fight, like I said, I don't know who won the fight. But, you know, I considered myself to have won just by nature of the fact that I was outnumbered and I was opposed. And I thought, well, you know, you came out pretty good on that one right there. And now you might say, well, what's that got to do with Psalm 8? Well, I'm going to tell you what it's got to do. Now, in that situation, you know, I didn't come out and I didn't bow down and look up at the sky and say, oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. You know, and generally, growing up as kids, when we got in a fight, especially if we won, you know, we didn't necessarily go out and give praise to the Lord. But you know what? Many theologians believe that is the background behind Psalm 8. And I'm going to show you here in a second how they arrive at that conclusion. But many people believe that David wrote Psalm 8 after his battle with Goliath. And I had never really considered that before until I started studying, and I began to see some of the things that some of the parallels that were being made. And so David, after he has this battle, after he has this fight, where these Philistines are out in the valley, and they're all rooting for their giant, and David gets into a fight, which he is basically outmanned and outnumbered, and he defeats the giant. And after he defeated the giant, at some point in time after that, the theologians surmise that David went and looked up in the heavens and he said, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And as we go through the psalm this morning, some of the things that I'm going to say, you'll see. But if you'll go to that next chart, this is the reason why some theologians believe that David is referring to that incident with Goliath. We find that incident with Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. And we see that in 1 Samuel 17, in verse 45, David defeated Goliath in the name of the Lord. He told the giant, you come against me with sticks and with stones, but I come to you in what? In the name of the Lord. And what did David say? How did he end, or how did he begin, and how did he end this song? He said, O Lord, thou Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And then we see David was a youth. That Saul said to David, how can you go out and fight the giant when you are but a youth? But what, as a youth, what did he do? He killed, he defeated, he silenced the enemy. Now, that word youth is the word nahar. And it actually refers to a young boy from the time of infancy, from the time that they are born, and it could go all the way up to adolescence. So David was a youth. And notice what he says in verse 2. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Why? Because of the enemies. And what did he do? Because that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When David defeated Goliath, what did he do? He shut him up. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. Lord, that you work through the youth. And I've always wondered what that meant. I always struggled with the idea. Now, why does he, out of all this stuff, he talks about the majesty of God, he talks about all this. Why in the world would he include verse 2 in this and say, you know, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings has thou ordained strength because of the enemy? Why is that inserted in there. And many believe it's inserted there because David was just a youth when he fought Goliath. And when he defeated Goliath, he silenced the enemy and the avenger. If you go on to the next one. David said in 1 Samuel, verse 44, he said that he would give. He didn't say God will take. He didn't say that the birds and the beasts would come and take. David, look what he said. He said, I will give your flesh over to the fowl of the air and over to the beast of the field. He says that in Psalm 44. What does he say in Psalm 8? He says that, well, let me go back and read it because I just put a clip, a part of it up there. But in Psalm 8, he says, thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all the sheep and the oxen. And notice what he, and what? And the beast of the field and the fowl of the air. And so David says that you have given man dominion. And what did he tell the enemy? What did he tell Goliath? He said, man, I'm going to give your flesh to the beast of the field and the fowl of the air. And we see here that Goliath was the Philistine champion, and David killed him. He was the Philistine champion, and God killed him. Now, as I was studying out, and I've been telling you about these superscriptions, and so we know that the superscription is the phrase or the verse that, or the writing that comes before the psalm. So we see the Psalm 8, is to the chief musician upon Gittith. And this word Gittith actually could mean wine press, or it could mean an instrument from Gath. And we know that Goliath was from Gath. But as I was studying, I found something else out. And one commentator said that sometimes the superscription on the following psalm to the following psalm, watch this, can be connected to the psalm before it. And I began to read that. And notice what the superscription to Psalm 9 says. It says, to the chief musician upon Muth Laban. And we look at this word, Muth Laban. And I know while I'm preaching, some of y'all on the internet Googling what I say and things like that. I understand that. But if you want to take the opportunity to Google that word, Muth Laban, some theologians connect that phrase with the psalm before it, which is Psalm 8. And you know what that word means? You know what it means? The death of a champion. The death of a champion. And so David could have written Psalm 8, and it's most likely that he wrote Psalm 8 in a reflection after he destroyed Goliath. And so as we move into Psalm 8, let's keep that background in mind. And I think that as we go through it, some of these things will make even a stronger connection to that, the fact that this might be what this psalm is referring to. First of all, we see the proclamation in verse 1. The proclamation. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Now, we know that there are many names for God, and many of you have did a study, and some of you have memorized the names of God. But in this short verse right here, we see two names of God used as the psalmist opens the psalm. The first thing he says, O Lord, and the Hebrew word there is Yahweh. And then he says, our Lord. And the Hebrew word there is Adonai. O Yahweh, our Adonai. What is he saying? He's saying Yahweh is what? The self-existent one. That when Moses came to God and he said, when I tell him who sent me, what should I say? Who sent me? And God said, tell him that I am. You know what he told him? Tell him Yahweh. Yahweh sent you, the self-existent one, the one who needs no other to exist, the one who stands alone all by himself, the one who is the sustainer, the creator, and the provider of all of creation. Yahweh. Adonai. What is Adonai? Adonai means master, Lord, ruler. Tell them that Lord, Yahweh, the self-existent God, our God, our master, our ruler, our owner. Oh, Lord. Our Lord. Not your Lord. Not the heathen's Lord. Not the world's Lord. But our Lord. Lord, our Lord. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. When I look at and just the places I've been, when I think of the sunrise of Hawaii, I think of the blue ocean coming against the shore. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. That when I go to Colorado and I find myself nestled up in the Rocky Mountains that in the summertime that has snow caps on the mountains, I say, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And when I went to Africa and I saw the rolling green hillsides of Africa, the rich land of the continent, I said, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. One of the things that I've been following this last week, and for some reason it just arrested my attention, is the fact that there were two people on the South Pole that needed to be rescued, or not rescued, but that were sick. And they had to bring these planes down from Canada. And these planes flew down into Chile. And then from Chile, they flew down into Antarctica. And then only one plane could make the trip. Now, here's the thing that absolutely blows my mind, is the fact that this place where they went, at the bottom of the world, this time of the year, 24 hours of darkness, 100 degrees below zero. Can you imagine? And notice that according to the report, the only way that they could even risk flying in total darkness was because there was a full moon. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And so David, many believe that he was, he was a shepherd. And you can imagine there were many nights that he would sit out on the hillside watching the sheep and just look up and see the moon and the stars and just meditate on the power and the majesty of God. But notice, it says not only how excellent is thy name in all the earth, but look what it says, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Lord, that the heavens tell a story about who you are. The heavens tell a story about your power. The heavens tell a story about your glory. The heavens tell a story about what you do. And Lord, what you do is so great. What you do is so powerful that the only thing we can say is your name is excellent on the earth. And you got so much glory that you can't even put it all here on the earth, that you got to set some of it above the heavens. That's the kind of God that we serve. Oh, praise his holy name. We see that's the proclamation today. The proclamation is, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And then we see what I call the declaration. The psalmist uses as an example of the weakest of mankind, which are babes and sucklings, to broadcast the strength of the Lord. The rage of the enemy is quieted by the praise of the baby. The rage of the enemy is quieted by the praise of the baby. Look what he says in verse 2. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. You know, a babe is, you know, maybe a toddler, but we know a suckling is one that's still nursing at the breast. How in the world can one nursing at the breast praise God and give him strength. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. That, Lord, that the babes praise you, and that when the babes praise you, Lord, that is strength that's coming out of their mouth, giving praise to the Almighty, giving praise to God. And then especially when that praise shuts the mouth of the enemy, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Y'all believe that's why sometimes God likens us to little children. And Jesus says, suffer the children and let them come unto me. Because if we really want to see the power of God, if we really want to see the hand of God, we almost have to become like that child and let God be God. And isn't that what David did when he fought against Goliath? Remember when he fought against Goliath? Saul said, well, look, here, take my armor. David said, man, I can't use that stuff, man. What's wrong with you? And he went out there with a slingshot and five smooth stones. That's something that a kid would do. A kid would do something like that. Somebody that's young and inexperienced. But he knew that he had a God. And you know, if you went back and read 1 Samuel 7, you would see Goliath. And I'm going to take you back to a term we used to use in the 70s. So some of the young people might not identify with this term. And that is, Goliath was selling wolf tickets. He was selling wolf tickets. And he was out there, and David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is taunting the armies of the living God? And so Goliath was running his mouth. He had a lot to say. But when David hit him square in the forehead with that stone, he quieted him. And he didn't have too much to say after that. And so out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. And then we move on to the third part, the third movement that we see in Psalm 8. And the third movement is what I call the contemplation. And there are three things that we want to look at here. The first is the consideration. David says in verse 3, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. And as I said before, David spent a lot of time in contemplation. He spent a lot of time in meditation, and he began to consider. He said, when I think about this, when I think about the glory of God, when I think about the majesty of God, when I think about, now we know God doesn't have fingers. We know he doesn't have fingers. And so what does he do? He takes an earthly example that we can understand, and he applies it to God. This is what is called an anthropomorphic expression. And this is where we give God human characteristics to try to show who he is. He says, when I consider thy hands and the work of thy fingers, how Lord, that when you made creation, that you spoke it into existence. But I believe as he spoke it, then you know, his hands began to shape. And he took his hands and did like that, and the mountains rose. That he took his finger and he began to cut into the earth, and that's when the waters began to run. That he took his hands and he took the land and he spread it apart, and that's when it filled. Man, can you imagine?
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of a powerful proclamation and a personal reflection from Psalm 8. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, you can contact us here at anchoredinjesus.org, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. Or if you would like to request your copy of the book, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow, You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download more than 400 teachings that are available there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution to this ministry, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you that you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.